You bet. See you guys. Wake up. Isn't that funny? So that today, what I'm going to be talking about is, so why do we go through trials? That's the title of my sermon. And I got to tell you, doing a sermon on a subject is very difficult, and there's a lot of stuff that comes out of it, and you start reading, you just get more. And it's really cool how Bill sends that message out, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. It's just God working everything together. And what was really cool is I didn't tell Pam what I was doing. And here's all these songs that we went through. It was Holy, I Want to See You. We're singing about that. We Want to See You. Oh, Come to the Altar. My Heart is Yours and Our God. You know, and this is all going to pertain to all of this. So, most of you guys know, and if you're not hooked up with that, we can put you on the list if you want to know what the verse of the week is. You know, and it was James 1, 2 through 4. And it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The hardest thing about facing trials is to make sure we don't try to get out of it too quickly. This is going to sound strange to some of you guys, probably. But sometimes what happens with a trial, we want to go through it, get done with it, move on, and I don't want to deal with that again. But sometimes when we go through that, we got to understand, what is God really teaching us? What is he really trying to teach us? There's so many things we can get out of a trial. But when we're in the trial, we don't want to be there long. And we know that it's hard, right? And sometimes, you know, we got to open up our hearts to see, what is God really teaching us? What am I to learn? What am I to hear? What am I to see? Right? There is always something there. But sometimes, if you go through the trial too fast, God's not going to let you out of it. You're going to stay there. And what's going to happen is you're going to have to keep repeating it, repeating and repeating it. And I got to tell you, that's me. I'm stubborn. You too, Dave? Yeah, that's good. Sometimes what happens is I just want to move fast through it. I want to get through it. I know. I know. Don't tell me that. I already know. But that's not true. let's see. If you're going through a trial, you know, even if you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, when you weren't a Christian, let's say, when I wasn't a Christian, I was going through trials still the same way. The only thing is I had no end in mind. I didn't know what the end was going to be. I didn't understand who God was. So the trial I was going through was just a trial. I mean, it was even worse, because when you have Christ, you're going through those for a reason. God's teaching you. He's trying to make you more like him. But when you're not a Christian, that's a struggle. It is a struggle, because all you're going through is something that you don't understand. You know, and there is no hope. There's no future. There's no, you know, we see the end. We see that we get to go to heaven. You know, we see that there is a purpose that God is teaching us. When you're going through a trial, when you're not saved, there is no purpose. It's kind of ugly. So with that, you know, the one thing that, you know, once we accepted, before you accepted Christ, if you're going through everything and everything's perfect in your world, you know, where you have a boss that says, oh, you know what, you don't even need to come into work today. Don't even come into work. You need to stay home. We're going to still pay you. Matter of fact, you can take the private Learjet that we have and you can go on a vacation anywhere you want and we'll pay for it. And by the way, we got the new car put in your thing. Really, that's joy, but that doesn't really happen, right? That is not going to happen. But sometimes that's what we think, is that life is going to be all perfect and everything. Well, it's not going to be. So when we accept Christ, we still have the same problems, right? We still do, but we have Jesus in our life that we can have, who is our hope and our love, that he's going to take care of us and make sure that everything's going to go through. But because of these trials, it's important that we go through them, okay? What happens? Trials are tough and they come upon us, and the first thing we do, we begin to question why. Wondering how and why is God putting me through this, right? But it's just like a test. Like the kids were saying when they went through a test, you got to know the subject, right? You got to know what it is. And sometimes when we're going through something, God's trying to teach us something, but we don't see what it really is that he's trying to teach us. And that's why we're going through the trial, because he wants us to get more with him. In Job, let's go to Job 1. I believe it's 1. Yep, Job 1. It's kind of cool because I'm doing a Bible study on Tuesdays, and we're in Job. So it says, "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? Have you blessed the work of his hands and his possessions, have increased in the land? But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.' And the Lord said, 'Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on this person.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, when the sunbeams raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was speaking, another also came and said, 'The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'The Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away, and yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I have alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house and fell on the young people, and they are dead and alone and have escaped to tell you.' Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, 'Naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong." Now, this is a trial for Job, and I hope that no one else has gone through something like this. This is pretty bad, right? But sometimes it feels like that when we're in a trial. Right? Sometimes we feel like, gosh, is there just something else going to happen? I mean, have you ever gone to the trial so much that all of a sudden you just bust out laughing? Yes. I have done that. Pam and I have done that one time. We had so many things coming at us, and all of a sudden we just started laughing. You know, it's like, you know, and I think that relieves a lot of tension when you do that. But what happens is first thing we start to do when we start going through these trials is, oh, poor me. Oh, poor me. Why does everybody, I got to find someone to tell my troubles to. And then we want to go tell somebody. And we want to just unload on them about all the things we're going through. And I just hope that they go tell somebody else so everybody can feel sorry for me. You know, I love my mom to death. I really do. She passed away years ago. But the one thing I learned from her was not to ask her how she was doing. Because she would always tell you she'd go to the complaining side of things. And I used to tell Pam, when you call my mom, don't ask how she's doing. Just say, "Hi, Mom," and then just start talking to her. But there were some people like that as soon as you ask how they're doing, they just want to unload and tell you everything that's wrong in the world and everything that's wrong. And she actually had a pretty good life, so I don't understand. But, you know, I gave her grace and I loved her, but I knew what not to say and to get her going on those things. But then what we do is we feel like, I got to go tell everybody. You know, there's a song by Don Francisco, who was a Christian artist, and he used to say, once you got saved, you want to go tell somebody. Got to go tell somebody what Jesus did for me. Well, sometimes when we get into trials, we want to go tell somebody. I want to go tell somebody how bad my life is right now because everything's going wrong, you know, and we can't be that way. I'm surprised that Job could even walk and could feed himself, to be honest with you. I mean, how did he go through all this? Then friends like Job come out, and if you keep reading through there, You'll find out what happens. And we really should do a Bible study on Job. This is a good one. But what happens is they start asking, what kind of sin are you in? The first thing when you start going through trials and things are starting to happen in your life, people will start wondering, well, what kind of sin are you in that you're having this problem? Well, you know what? God might just be training you. He might just be teaching you, because that's what a trial is. A trial is God is working within you on something that you need to learn to be a better Christian, to be more godly, to be more like Christ. One thing I would like to stress is it's good to be with Christian brothers and sisters when we're going through a trial, okay? Because you can't go through it alone, and a lot of people will try to go through a trial alone. That's the first thing they do is when a trial starts to happen and things start going wrong, the first thing people do is they quit coming to church. And I don't know why, because that's where you hear the Word of God, and that's where you got brothers and sisters, you know, and I don't think there's a person in this church that I would not take wisdom from, because there's a lot of wisdom in this church, right? There's not one person in here that I can look at that I would not listen to, you know, because God sends a lot of people to it. He would even the kids, you know. Pam has a Down syndrome sister, Mary, and one time we were at Lake Powell, 24 of us, when we first got married, 24 of us were all at Lake Powell, and there's a big argument starts, and we're all yelling and screaming at each other, and the Down syndrome lady, who has I think she's six of a six-year-old, she turns to everybody and says, can't we all just get along? And everybody started crying. I mean, out of the mouth of babes, right? And here's all us adults, and we didn't get it, right? Yeah, but that's what happens. God sends the right people to us. It is not wise to be alone in trials, especially when you have a church family, you know, and it's great church family here. This is a great church family. Another thing is if you're around brothers and sisters, they can be truthful with you. You know, and sometimes we don't want to hear the truth, but we need to hear the truth. But also, they might have gone through that same trial. You know, what a great thing. If I've known Dave's gone through this trial, why not ask him, well, how did you get through it? Or what am I learning? What did you learn? What is this? You know, there's a lot of stuff that can be learned from each other. We never know. It is strange, but when people start going through a trial, it is tough. It is a tough thing to have them get isolated. The first thing they want to do is get isolated, and they don't want to be around Christians. They don't want to be around anybody. They just want to be home. I can deal with this myself, and I'm one of those people. Sometimes I'm that kind of guy. I want to deal with this on my own. I don't want to tell anybody about it. And then you're sitting there holding that in, and people might come up to you and start talking to you, and they got the wisdom, but you don't want to hear it because you shut yourself off too. Even if you're around people, you're shut off, and you can't be that way. We need to be in fellowship when we're going through trials. We need to be in fellowship all the time. You don't have to be going through a trial. And there's three ways of trials, they say. There's one, you're going into a trial, you're going through a trial, or you're coming out of a trial. So if you don't think you're going to be in a trial next week, well, surprise, you probably will be. If you're not in one of those three stages, you're going to be in one of those three stages. The reason we go through trials, like I say, is where God is going to shape us. He's shaping us. He's teaching us. He loves us, and he wants us to be the best. And sometimes we have to just stay in that trial. And we got to find out why are we in there and going through it just to say, Lord, show me how I can be a better person. How can I be better with you? How can I be a better Christian? Take your time, Lord. Imagine going through a trial and we just say, take your time, Lord. We want to learn whatever it is we need to learn so we don't have to visit this place again. Can you do that? We need to do that. Unlike me, I don't like to do that. You know, we had the shop for 20 years, you know, and last year we sold it and stuff. But there were so many times when we had that shop, I think God had that in me to be there because I really had to trust in him. And I don't know how many times I'd be going through something, and I'd pray, and God would say, Dennis, just look behind you. What have I already done? I've already taken care of this. Why do you keep going back to this? You know, and yet it would take me 15 years to learn, and I remember one time sitting, we were on a vacation, and I just said, that's it. Giving it to him. I'm going to trust in everything. And that's what he needed. That's what I needed. That helped me. That was the thing that he wanted me to learn. was trust when I had that shop. Honestly, trust. I had to trust him in everything because if you've ever owned a business, you know, you had 27 employees most of the time, and when you look at your bank account, you don't think you have enough money to make payroll, and you got 27 people, you know are going to be knocking on your door, and all of a sudden, God provides. It's a miracle, you know, and we've seen that time and time again, and I don't know how many times I heard him say, but I just took care of this. I've always taken care of you. When have you ever needed, you know? It's so cool. So another thing is sometimes what happened was with employees or people when I get around them, they would steal my joy. You know, they would kill you to where, kill's not the right word. I would be having an employee party or something like a Christmas party and someone would ruin it, right? And they would, or I'd be doing certain things with employees and I'd be taking care of them because he had an accident and so I took care of his car problems and I helped him, I was coaching him and teaching him, and all of a sudden one day he's just really mean to me and leaves and quits. And I was like, that's it, I'm not going to take care of anybody ever again, right? And he tainted me. And I was like, I remember driving home and God talking to me and I put someone on the message came on from a pastor talking and it was exactly that, you know, and I remember God teaching me that going, Lord, you know, where's the grace? Dennis, where's the grace? I give you grace, why don't you give that grace out? So then I learned that. You know, so then what I learned is I don't care what the employee is like or people that are around me or family members, I'm going to be the way Christ wants me to be. And I'm going to give the grace out and I'm going to love people for what they are, you know, for what God wants me. What does God see them? Because he wants none to perish. He wants them all, right? So what we need to do is do the same. And that's what I really learned also. So there's a lot of things going through that trial. And you know what? I look at that trial as 15 years to learn trust. Another 20 years to learn grace. Because in that, I kept getting, things kept happening that I had to give grace out. I had to give grace out. And it's like, when does this ever stop? Well, it never stops. You know, it never stops. We're going to be in trials the rest of our life. You know, once we became a Christian, and that's fine with me. You know, because I want to be more like him. We are God's children, sons and daughters of the highest. He is a good papa, and good papas will train up their children to be strong, to not faint, and to rise above any given situation that we may face. Proverbs 3, 11 and 13 says, my child, do not reject the Lord's discipline, and don't get angry when he corrects you. The Lord corrects those he loves, just as parents correct the child they delight in. Happy is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gets understanding. Man, that's a perfect verse for this. You know, because sometimes we think when we're going through a trial, God's correcting us. He's not correcting us. He's teaching us. He's teaching us what we need to learn to be a better Christian, to walk with him. That's why I always like that prayer about, Lord, open up my heart so you can teach me what I need to learn. I don't care what Pam needs to learn. I do, but in a sense, I want to learn what I need to learn. Open up my heart. What are you showing me? Because I don't want to sit there and go, did you hear that, Pam? Did you hear that? Oh, that was a good one for you. When I'm doing that, I'm not focused on what I need to learn, you know, because we need to learn what we need to learn. And for me to be a better husband and the leader of our family, I need to be the one listening. It should be the other way around. Did you hear that one? Did you hear that one? And we joke around with that a lot, but, you know, that's just the way we are. So why do we go through trials? So you become more dependent on the Lord, right? 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10 says, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Ooh. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. Wow. That's pretty amazing. Right? The power of Christ to work through me. And that's if we let him. We have to let him. When we're going through these trials, you have to be more dependent on him. Release more of your stuff to him. That's why I take pleasure in weakness and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And John 15:5 says, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. We're surprised when difficult things come into our lives. The implication is that we should be prepared, right? We should be prepared. Accept suffering. Each time a hardship enters our lives, we're reminded that this world is not our home. We are broken people living in a broken world, sin-filled world. If we try to make our lives into heaven on earth, we'll surely be disappointed. Know God's word, fight the fight of faith by studying, meditating on, and treasuring the promises of God's word. A closed Bible will yield you nothing. Very little hope, very little strength. Arm yourselves with the sword of the Spirit to fight the battle well, for our battle is spiritual and requires weapons of the Spirit. You know, you go to Ephesians 6, and they talk about all the weapons. You know, we have the breastplate, the sword, the shield, you know, and like Bill always alluded to, you know, when the Romans were together, they were side by side. They weren't standing alone. You got to remember that. You know, when people go through trials, the first thing we do, again, I'm going to keep saying that, is we run to be by ourselves. Go hide in the closet, so to speak. And you're not going to get anywhere by doing that. You got to pray for perseverance. Call upon the only one who could sustain you with grace in the midst of your difficulty. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. We need to know, or we need to let what we learn become embedded in our hearts so we don't ever forget it. That's why we need to take our time and go through that trial. We don't want to hurry up through. We want to embed it in our hearts so we never forget it. If you're facing a trial, wait on God. He will show up. He will show us there is something in it that we may need to see, something that we need to do. Be watching, listening, and seeking Him. He is going to teach us to walk out of hard places and hard times. So why do we go through trials? So we can count it all joy. First, we need to understand what the joy of the world gives is not the same as the joy of the Spirit. Okay, so the joy of the world is like, okay, Super Bowl 26. Do we even know who was in it? Do we know who the quarterback was? Who threw the first pass? Who caught the first pass and made a touchdown? Who is the MVP? Do we even know? What about basketball? 5 years ago, who was the championship basketball team? Does it even matter? Who made the first basket? Who made the last basket? Who did the winning shot? We don't even know. And that's short-lived. Learning, being with Christ is not short-lived, right? Yeah, it goes on and on and on. I remember watching Facing the Giants, I think it is, where he says, you know, we're going to do this for God. We're going to praise Him when we win and when we lose, right? Because it's not about winning the game. And he even mentions that in there. Who was the last quarterback that won our team a football game? You know, and he was going through this. And you can't remember all that stuff. But what we can remember who Jesus is. And we can remember what He did for us last, right? And we won't forget that. So we need to embed it in our hearts. Worldly joy or happiness comes and goes. It isn't something you can cling to when you've lost a loved one or you're facing bankruptcy. The spirit of joy or happiness, on the other hand, can stay with you for the long haul. For us, the fruit of the Spirit, including joy, is like a bottomless well of water. I like that. There's always an abundant supply, isn't it? You know, our daughter was working for us at one point, and Pam wrote a little thing to her, don't let anybody steal your joy. And she put it on the calendar in front of Jenny. And we had these big calendars on what to do every day. And some of the guys come up and they needed to get a check. Well, Jenny was our accountant, so she'd have to write a check. And they saw that. So it started becoming a joke around the whole shop. Whenever Jenny would walk around and they'd see her, they'd go, don't let anybody steal your joy. And it was funny. And she came up and she goes, I can't believe Mom did that. And then what she did, I thought she threw it away. She slipped it underneath the calendar and kept it. You know, as a reminder, she says, I keep it as a reminder not to let anybody steal my joy, but don't tell Mom. Why not? Because I don't want to give her that satisfaction. But she was just playing around. But it was fun because then everybody got that. And then some of the guys asked, what is that about? And so then there's a teaching moment, you know? So it was really cool. It was really, really cool. Let's see. The spirit of the joy is our happiness. On the other hand, we can say, with you for a long haul. I already talked about that. Oh, John 15:11. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. There are so many Bible verses about this stuff. It is so cool. Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, if you have that joy in your heart, when things come at you, they're not as bad. It's just kind of like having a fire extinguisher. When the fires come at you, you could just put them out right away. No big deal. You know, we still want to take them for when we need to, but they don't crush us. They don't steal a certain part of us and rip it out, you know? It's kind of like someone told me one time about divorces, that a divorce is like nailing a board together and gluing it and 2 2-by-4s together and then pulling it apart and parts of it stay. Well, when we let people stir our joy, it's doing the same thing. Parts of that is staying with them. They can take that joy away from us, and we don't want that. We want to keep our joy. Go away. That's not going to bother me. In Acts 16:34, the jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them, and he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. That's joy. Isaiah 40:31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up like wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's a beautiful one too. So why do we go through trials? 1 Corinthians 11:1. Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Ephesians 5:1-2, it says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. That says it best, right? Romans 5:3-6, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time when we are still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Psalms 119:71-77. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than 1,000 pieces of silver and gold. Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commandments. May those who fear you rejoice when they see me, for I have put my hope in your word. I know, Lord, that your laws are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. May your unfailing love be comfort according to your promise to your servant. Let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Oh, these are just great. I mean, you keep going and there's more. I just kept finding more and more and more and more. Yeah. There's Psalm 119:64-68. Oh, the earth, O Lord, is full of the steadfast love. Teach me thy statutes. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in the commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep thy word. You know, that's the funny thing when we go through things and we're going through these trials, it's just like when we pray for things. When I pray for patience, God's going to give me the opportunity to be patient. When I pray for wisdom, he's going to give me that opportunity to learn wisdom. If he teaches me, you know, you start looking for that, right? If I pray for, anything, watch my heart. I mean, he's going to give me a chance to watch my heart, you know? And the trials help perseverance, right? And it just said that. So James 1:1-12, back to James, it says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary of doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Sometimes we just have to admit, we just don't know, and instead of going crazy and trying to figure out why, we must trust the Lord that he knows best. That's what we need to do. We really need to just trust. He knows best for us. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways yours, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then, I know this is one of Bill's favorite, Jeremiah 29, 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You know, every one of us, that's written to every one of us. That's not just written to one person or two people. That's written to every Christian. Every Christian. And sometimes we look at that and when we're going through a trial and we don't see that. But sometimes when we're in the trial, that's what we need to do is get back in the Word of God. You got to get back in the Word, read it, and find these. These are all over the place, especially in Psalms but and in Proverbs. They're all over the place. Trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will to do all good, and he will show you the path which to take. And by the way, prayer is the best armor against all trials. And you know what? That's the one thing we need to be. We need to be calloused on our knees. We need to be in prayer. That's why that movie was fantastic to watch. It put prayer back in my life. Yeah. You can hear someone because they have been in, you can help someone if you've been in that situation. Throwing around scriptures will be hard to understand for someone who's grieving. But sometimes you can comfort them because you've gone through the same thing and you understand their pain. But sometimes just sitting there with them. We had this discussion in a Bible study not too long ago that sometimes when people are hurting, the best thing to do is just to be with them. Just to be with them in case they want to talk and in case they want you to be quiet. And you know what? Just in being quiet and being with them, you can be silently praying. You know, I have different ways of looking at things because, like, if I know someone's struggling for something, I'm going to pray for them. I am going to pray for them. And sometimes we don't know what to pray for people, right? We might hear on the prayer chain, pray for this person, pray for Dave. We don't know the situation he's going through. We don't need to know that because the Holy Spirit does. So we pray for him. And we be diligent in that, and we pray for him, and pray for him, and we pray for each other, you know. And we don't need to know the details. You know, details sometimes for me, I don't want to know the details because then my mind starts going. I don't want to know that stuff. I would just rather know, you just want prayer? I'll pray for you, you know. Yeah. So why do we go through trials? Trials give us a greater reward in heaven. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what was seen, but what is unseen, since what is temporary. What is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Trials also increase our knowledge that they help us to learn God's word. Psalms 119, 71 through 77. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. I already read that. And it came up again. The law of your mouth is more precious to me than 1,000 pieces of silver. Your hands form me and give me understanding. And we also need to be thankful. You know, because if God is teaching us and putting us through trials, then he cares for us. That's cool, you know. I mean, if someone didn't really love you and they wouldn't call you, God calls us all the time, right? Are we willing to answer that phone? 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18 says, always be joyful, always keep on praying no matter what happens. Always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trials take our minds off the things of the world and we put them back on the Lord too. So we don't need to listen to the things of the world. We don't need to listen to all the other noise, I call it, going around. And stop saying I'm going to pray but actually go do it. You know, sometimes we say we're going to go pray, but do we do it? We need to do it. Let's start a new prayer life that you've never had. Stop thinking you can do things on your own and trust in God and tell God, I can't do it without you. I need you, my Lord. That's what we need to start doing, right? I will not listen to these lies. You must stand strong in the faith of God that you can bring even if it seems impossible through it. And I've seen that. We've seen it, right? And I think everybody here probably has something they can tell us about that you thought was impossible that God got you through. Be committed to a body of believers. God does not mean for us to suffer on our own. When the Israelites were fighting Amalek, they were the only victorious as long as Moses was raising up his arms. But when he grew weary and the battle needed the help, Aaron and Hur held up his arms to give him strength. And that's in Exodus 17:8-13. Who will come to your aid when the road gets tough? You can't do it alone, people. You can't do it alone. Suffering does not exempt us from doing good to others. Keep reaching out. You know, that's another thing. When you are in a trial and you focus your life on helping someone else, the trials go through so much smoother. Because you know what you're doing is you're helping. You're doing what God wants you to do, helping a father, brother, or sister, or someone to go through things to help them. It takes your focus off of the pity me and help someone else, right? And it's really helpful. So, why do we go through trials? So the Master can shape us to His will. Too many times we want to shape His will to ours, and we don't want to do that. Where does it get us? Nowhere. So we need to shape to His will and remember James 1-2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's a great verse. And that was the first start of the ones that we're starting to learn. And we need to memorize that. You know, count it all joy when we go through these trials. Because when we are, that means we have a Savior who loves us and He's trying to teach us to be more like Him and to take away the problems that we create in our own minds. A lot of this stuff is created in our own hearts and minds. If we open up our heart and our mind to Him, we can walk with so much joy. And that's where we need to be. And I want that for everybody. Everybody to have that. I mean, I walk through, you know, places and I see people that look like they're struggling. You can almost feel it. You can almost feel the aura. You know, and you don't need to be there. You know, we don't need to be poor, you know, this way, life sucks. You know, no, it doesn't need to be like that. We have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. And we have the Word. We have everything that He talks about in here. And we can read this and learn more about Him every day. And you know what? A closed Bible doesn't get you anywhere. You know, if you don't know where your Bible is, that's not a good thing either. So with that, that's all I had today. And let's go to prayer. Dear God, we just thank You for this day. We praise You. We give You thanks and praise. And Lord, I just know that we're all going to face a trial. And the trials are for You to teach us what we need to learn, what we need to see, and what we need to hear. And as we do these, Lord, may we just do it with a joyful heart, knowing that the number one thing is that You want us to be more like You. We need to learn what we keep in our hearts that stop us from having a great relationship with You. We need to see what's in our lives that keep us from having a fantastic relationship with You. And we need to hear Your words so we can have a great, great relationship with You, Lord. Everything we do, Lord, may it bring joy to You. And everything we do, shall we just see the joy in You. We just praise You. We give You thanks and praise. And when we leave today, Lord, I just pray that everybody would just open up their hearts to You, see the joy that You have, and just accept that trial as they're going through it, and just not be in a hurry to go through that trial, but just understand what You're teaching each one of us individually. I just praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.